Bandwidth for all shows on the Aussie Tech Heads network is supplied by Aussie Tech Heads web hosting. For a fast, affordable and reliable Australian server with fantastic support, contact Aussie Tech Heads web hosting at aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's best hosting service.
Hi, and welcome to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode, Aussie Tech Heads, and we're going to get straight into it. We've got another big show. I hope we're all feeling safe tonight. Well, we should be. There's a little flotilla of Russian battleships off the coast of Australia. So it's,
I feel better now.
Yeah, so do I. Feel a lot safer too. What a big, well, you'd have to say no. It's a wank.
Now.
It's
so
a wank.
So much better now.
But everyone feels a lot safer, I'm sure. But yeah, so it's a sign of strength, I suppose, but who cares really? They'll go
he
home
does it
pretty
all
soon.
The time. Yeah, I know. Do this all the time. It's not a big deal.
He takes them everywhere.
They've been doing this since the 70s.
Yeah, they take them everywhere.
People should just calm down and have a Bex.
Yeah. For headache, pain and fever.
A welcome relief of pain.
That's right. I take Bex. They were no good for you, apparently.
That's why they're not selling them anymore.
I remember when I was a kid, little old ladies, you know, they used to... They just take them. They'd open up their little box, their little Bex box.
They abused it. They treated it like lollies. Have a Bex and a lie down. And then you wouldn't get back up again because it would kill you.
And then I remember when I was at school, there was a guy who used to take, like, at school, a student. Like, this is high school, so he's, what, 16 or something. And he was doing a Bex and a Coke.
Oh. So,
you know, so.
Yeah, Coke with Bex.
Yeah, no, I tell you, I don't know. He was an idiot. He reckons he used to have aspirins on his Weet-Bix and stuff, and Weet-Bix and Coke, and
that's really bad. You can damage your kidneys and your liver with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so he's probably dead. He's gone.
Gone.
Gone. All right. So anyway, Eric, how are you going this week?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Very good. Yes, good. Thank you very much. And what's been going on? Anything exciting down your neck of the woods?
Just been flat out doing. I've got something on every week, every day for the next bloody till Christmas.
And what's that? Is that a pillow behind you, or what's it? What a sack of something?
Oh, that's some pillows and one of my children's. I think I'm gonna have a look at that children's. Dresses on top of it.
Oh, right. It looks like you've been sleeping in the office there.
No.
And wearing a dress?
Yes.
Or wearing a dress. No, neither.
That's a formal dress.
Mm.
It's actually a communion dress.
Ah, you're going to take communion soon?
Yeah, again.
Cool. And and Jace, how are you going?
I think I'm awake.
Good. Oh, that's right. You've been on night shift this week. So
yeah, four nights, night shift, 10 hours, 10 to p.m. to 8 a.m.
Yeah. So you had a sleep today because you've come off night shift?
Yeah, I had a sleep for a few hours and then set my alarm to wake me up so I can try and get back into sleep routine at night time again.
Yeah, so what do you do this? Hard. Yeah, once a month or something?
Hopefully once every couple of months or so.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's pretty good. Now, do you like my new glasses? For those that you can see,
little fabulous
little 8-bit glasses there. I got another set. Look, I got two. I thought they're only $3. I thought, why not? I'll go and buy two. There they are. Ooh, look at them. Beautiful.
Hey, I'll send you my address so I can wear them next week.
Yes. So now talking about how's the old fart tech going, or old fart geeks, whatever you're doing?
Yeah, we had quite a few downloads of that already. And we had a bit of a break until the next one because my night shift has put everything out of whack. But next week we need to do another Minecraft Obsidian Loft episode and then another Old Fart Geek show.
Cool. Looking forward to hearing that one. And that's on iTunes, obviously, with Obsidian Loft. And
yeah, we got a feedback, actually, from a person named Shane. You might have heard of him before.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah.
what's he up to?
He really likes the format of the show and enjoyed listening to it, so that was good.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
Traitor.
So we had the video version of the show via podcast has been downloaded 101 times, and the audio.
Nice.
It's, let's have a look.
So it's going good.
43.
Nice. That's going good
so
for you.
For one episode, not too bad.
And that's very good, sir.
Yes, that's extremely good. Okay, now talking about old fart geeks or whatever you want to call yourselves. That's old fart geeks, isn't it? Yes. I think I keep wanting to mix those
old
last two
farts.
Words. That's right. Look, we got an email this week because we were talking about tape speeds. A couple of weeks ago, last week or a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes, somebody's got the definitive answer.
Data speeds and stuff, you know, off the old cassette tapes. Now, look, one of these days, one of these weeks, I'm going to learn how to put a picture up on the screen with this new software. But until I do that, bad luck. You'll have to watch me and while I read this. Now, it was who sent this in to me? Darren. He said he was in a nostalgic mood. Looking at one of his old game magazines from 1984 yesterday, and that was probably after listening to the old Fart Geek, and noticed a comment about tape speeds, and remembered you guys talking about these the other week, but the file sizes seemed high. I remember everything being so small, particularly as I had a ZX81. Wowzers.
Sinclair Spectrum.
Yeah, back then, and no storage, having to manually input every program. Yes, I remember those days.
How stupid were we?
I know. I used to do that at school in the lunch hour, you know, on a micro B, and like it'd take you an hour to punch the code in, and then you push run, and the bell would go, and the teacher would come off with the big default switch and just turn the whole bank of them off.
I love the micro Bs. We had those.
Yeah, they're all right.
That was the first ones I ever used.
But they were designed pretty poorly with the power cable because it could only go in one way. Well, it would go in two ways. But it should only go in one way. And, yeah, one day I put it in the other way and
we ended up having a B-net with it all networked together, all of them to a central micro B computer.
Oh, wow.
Which had a floppy drive in it. It was pretty cool.
A micro B with a floppy drive. Jeez, what a rich school you had. Now, from the article, the Commodore 64 could handle 16K every 10 minutes. Lion.
It's not a lot.
No.
It's 160K per tape.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, or for a 60-minute tape, 96K, which is about 10% of 1 meg. Yeah.
Wouldn't it take forever for our games to load?
Oh, I reckon. Well, what's some of these games now? They probably load up about, I don't know, a gig or something, wouldn't they? They're pretty full on.
Sure.
Xbox like one's like 100 gig now, and they're mostly downloadable as well.
100 gig, wow!
For a game,
yeah,
That's the typical Microsoft bloat.
Yes,
do that.
But anyway, so thanks, Darren, for sending that in. Now you got that from I don't know. I couldn't. Did I say the magazine? I can't see the name of it. Or did he say it? Yeah, he might have said it. He's one of his old game magazines. That was Game Magazines.
That's what I was thinking.
Sorry. Okay, good. Now, thanks, Darren. That was good. Now, look, another thing I came across. This is just to ease us into the show, you know, this week. There's another one, a website, INSECAM.com. INSECAM. Now, you guys heard of this site?
We have now.
You have. Now, what it's all about is apparently these guys have put together a web page that I don't know how they do it. They must just trawl the internet or whatever. And they're looking for IP cameras that are just sitting there with the default passwords on them. And so you can go into this website, you can go through the countries and just tune into someone's webcam.
So basically you're invading people's privacy.
Well, no, because they haven't changed
it. Set up in their bedroom.
Well, they haven't changed the password, so you're not invading. They've invited you in. That's an invitation. Don't change the password. That's the invitation. That's the digital invitation.
Rightio.
That's one way to call it.
So have a look at that. It's in the show notes. I'm not going to spell it again. It's in the show notes. AussieTechHeads.com.au. All right. Let's start a story off with Jace. You want to start off with a story, Jace?
Yeah. Satya Nadella's making a rapid reinvention of Microsoft in another bid to make up lost ground in the long march to the future of computing. Microsoft is now open sourcing the very foundation of .NET, the software that millions of developers use to build and operate websites and other large online applications. And it says this free code will eventually run on not only computer servers that use its own Windows operating system, but also atop machines equipped with Linux or Apple's Mac OS. Microsoft's two main operating system rivals. We want to have a developer offering that is relevant and attractive and valuable to any developer working on any kind of application.
True.
So, yeah, it'll be great. Right. I mean, they've had Mono, which is from Miguel Casaza, has been porting .NET to Linux just by reverse engineering it for years, and he's had a lot of meetings with Microsoft and flown in and out of there. And there was a thought that Microsoft was going to buy Xamarin, which is his company, which does that. But in the end, they decided to work together, and now they're going to make .NET run on all the platforms. So it'll save it, be a lot easier for a lot of developers. I mean, everyone who's sick of updating Java every 5 minutes because a new update has come out, because it's so full of vulnerabilities, is just going to love this because .NET hasn't had that much of that kind of problem.
So why is that? Why does Java come out all the time? Is it just because they're just finding holes in it?
And yeah, a lot of code has got holes in it, and they need to sandbox things more, I think, and put on more strict security. It gets too much access to too many things, and because it's a lot of free technologies that have been plugged together, eventually you know something's going to find out. I mean, even today, on the other hand, Microsoft has just released a zero-day update patch for every single version of Windows that's ever existed because they found a whole security hole that affects every single operating system that Microsoft has ever made from day one. So, you know, they're not 100% secure there. But, you know, .NET hasn't had the same sort of problems that Java has had. But then again, .NET hasn't been running as a server application, whereas Java is powering servers and things.
Because I know with the Java, every now and then, like, you go to do an update and that'll even fail. And I just leave it. I don't know what happens to it.
I found an interesting website last night called whyjavasucks.com. It's got a lot of funny photos of, you know, they'll have something like somebody is standing there trying to take a photo and there's this dog jumping up and down, going, this is the Java update. Update me. So it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Now, yeah, so that's good, yeah, because I had a story as well about the Microsoft thing. Let me find that. We might as well go with just finish off on that. Where we go. So it's the largest Microsoft patch Wednesday. So obviously this Wednesday just gone. And, yes, and today, like just before the show, I restarted the computer, and, yes, there was a few updates there. So they all came down. It's prepared a bumper patch of fixes for security holes in its application operating system, as Jay said, which will be released as part of the November patch Tuesday or our patch Wednesday. Five of the flaws are rated as critical by Microsoft, affecting old and new versions of Windows Server, blah, 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 and as well as Internet Explorer 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Oh, yeah, so there's heaps of them. Patches for Office 2007, Service
Patch Pack all the 3, things.
Everything. Does it say what it was all about? The patches will be available automatically from Windows and an update for the company's malicious software removal tool. Also, patched up server. Exchange Server, Eric, 2007, 10, and 13.
That way my server switched off.
Yeah, the updates came through, your server went down. So you have to go in tomorrow. All right. Now, what do you got, Eric? What do you want to talk about this week?
What do I have? Google launches YouTube Music Key Streaming Service. Excuse me. The major players in the streaming music market are suddenly a quintet. Spotify, Pandora, Apple, Amazon, and now Google YouTube has announced the launch of its highly anticipated, I don't know how anticipated it was, highly anticipated subscription music service, as well as an overhaul of how the site organizes and presents its collection of free music. The subscription service called YouTube Music Key will be invite only for the time being, with 6 months free, followed by a promotional price of $8 US per month.
Now, apparently the website is youtube.com/musickey, but if you're in Australia, it's just an empty page. It's apparently not available. It's only available in the US, UK, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Ireland.
Let me patch in the Getflix DNS settings for my subscription and I'll go check it out for you.
Just go on a hotspot shield and tell them that you're in a US jurisdiction, you'll get it up.
Yeah. So what's that, $10 a month?
I don't know. Eight US. What's about nine Aussie, $9.50? Yeah, call it 10.
Yeah, give it 10. And I'll tell you, I saw a funny show last night, going right off the track, with that Julia Zemiro, and they had that Bob Bailey on. He's a funny
Who's
bloke.
Who's Bob Bailey?
He's a little comedian that's very more intelligent than I would have thought he was. He does music. He's very educated in history and he's a Twitter. Is that what they call him? A twit? Bird watching or something.
So Bob Bailey.
Yeah. I've heard of Bill Bailey, but not Bob Bailey.
Oh, Bill Bailey. That's him. Yeah, Bill Bailey.
It's Bill Bailey, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
He's a famous
that's my accent.
British comedian. Has been on QI a lot.
He's, oh, that guy. Yeah, he's funny.
Black
the, with the bald mullet.
Yeah, that's him, yes.
The amazing hair.
Yeah, get on the iView, Eric, and whoever else wants to have a look at it. It's the
I started watching The Thick of It. Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
It's got
no, I haven't watched that.
Capaldi.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi, who's the new doctor, he was in this one, and it's you might actually like it because it's a political drama.
Falling asleep now.
Yeah, no Doctor Who in it. It's a political drama, and he plays this guy called Malcolm who just swears his head off through the whole thing because of the incompetent idiots he has to deal with in politics.
Media,
yeah,
yeah.
I might have a look. I've never watched the In the Thick of It, so I might give it
you
a
must,
look.
But you must go on iView also. You must go, sorry, viewers and listeners, but we're off track here, but, you know.
That's what happens.
Go and have a look at Upper Middle Bogan.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of
it. I heard about it. I haven't seen that.
Go and watch it. It's pretty good.
Pretty funny. Yeah.
It's fairly tame, so your kids could probably watch it with some supervision.
Yeah.
Maybe not your kids, Glenn.
They wouldn't understand it.
Well, they go straight over their head, so you're probably all right there.
And
but, you know, they've got who's in it? He's what's his name? Oh, the guy from Kath and Kim.
Glenn Robbins.
He's in it. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So he's pretty funny.
And, yes, cool. And I had something else. Oh, yes, and for our last ABC out of the night, there's a Countdown show coming on, Best of Countdown or something or other. So just keep an eye out for that too. It looks interesting.
Oh, it's got Molly and Prince Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't be watching that.
Clips that we've all seen before. Iggy Pop and you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, anyway, we've all seen it.
Won't you take me to a funky town?
I think Iggy's in another type of town, I think. So YouTube, yes, get back on track. YouTube streaming music key. So that's out, but not for us.
I think I'll stick with my Pandora.
Spotify,
I like.
Yeah.
Spotify is best one.
I think Spotify is the most popular.
I think so. But, you know, Taylor Swift, she's gone from it now.
Oh, well, no. What a blow to the culture.
They've had a big spat.
She goes, I'm not making much money from it. And Spotify goes, dude, we're going to give you millions. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I think
you make hardly any money.
Yeah, wasn't it last month or something that they said?
It's a publicity stunt.
18
Come on,
million.
Let's recognize it for what it is. It's a publicity stunt. As soon as she did that, everyone went and bought her stuff on iTunes. Come on.
Yeah.
Suddenly she's the flavour of the month and everyone wants to – what's Taylor Swift doing? Reading about Taylor Swift, watching Taylor Swift, listening to – it's a publicity stunt. She's got a great publicist, full stop. That's it.
Yeah, she'll come back. What's 18 million, eh? She'll rake that back in. She's doing a tour or something, so they reckon that's why she's done it as well. But anyway, let's get back into it. Apple local resellers can now mass configure devices. I don't know if this is – in your area of interest, Eric, but Apple has opened the door for iOS and OS X device purchase through Australian resellers. Apparently, you could only mass configure them if you were purchasing through Apple, but now you can do the same through resellers to access its device enrollment program, allowing enterprise and education institutions managing large fleets of devices and Apple products to configure them. So, like never before. Sense. It removes the need to manually configure iPhone, iPads, and MacBooks, allowing staff to use the devices straight out of the box. So I don't know why. So what are they saying? You weren't allowed to, pre-configure
them. If you use it, get it out of the box, you would have to plug it in. You would have to sync it with an iTunes account. You would have to wait until it charged up before you could use it. Now you can pre-configure it, so it's testable straight away.
Yeah. So it's just like Windows has been doing it. For years.
Yeah, usually with those devices, as soon as you get one, you turn it on, it says, please plug into a computer with iTunes running.
Oh, yes, yeah. Does too. That's right, yeah. So now these will just come, turn it on, and it'll be with the companies or education institutions software and blah, blah, blah. Allowing staff, from today, the program has been extended not only to countries outside the US, including Australia, but also to devices purchased through authorised resellers. The service allows IT teams to assign user profiles before the phone is activated, link devices to the MDM servers, and importantly, use the zero-touch configuration tool. Jeez, would want to use that to immediately configure apps and account settings when the device is first switched on. So there you go. Jace was right. Cool.
Booyah.
Booyah. And what else, Jace? What else have you got down there?
Well, for anyone who's used an iPhone in the last couple of years moved to a different platform, you're probably familiar with the struggle of receiving text messages from your contacts who are still on iOS. Apple's iMessaging platform, which allows messaging between iOS devices without using SMS, is generally considered to be a pretty cool tool. But if you leave that platform behind, quite often your iOS-wielding contacts will find that sending your messages don't work so well anymore. It used to be there was a process to follow before leaving iOS behind, which would allow your SMS to work properly from day one on Android or Windows phone or any other platform. However, if you already sold, destroyed the phone, then you're out of luck. Apple has heard consumers' anger about this and has, at long last, finally released a tool to manually deregister mobile numbers from Apple's iMessage services. Right. The process is pretty simple. Visit Apple's deregister website, punch in your mobile number and receive a text message for validation. Enter that code back in the website and you'll be deregistered from iMessage straight away.
Ooh,
so I've had many people who have contacted me going, I had an iPhone for the last 4 years and I just bought a Samsung Galaxy S5.
Yeah, well, there's
I don't get any
right
messages
there.
Anymore. What's going on?
Because Samsung doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else is starting to work, Eric. Now, look, we bagged these a fair bit, but I thought there was a good story. So I thought, you know, well.
You going to give me the credit where credit's due crap, are you?
Yeah. BlackBerry Passport.
Oh, no.
puts the company back into survival mode. So the unusually shaped passport. Now, if anyone's seen it, it's like a more rectangular, I suppose, lengthwise, actual keys for a keyboard on the bottom of a screen, five-inch screen or something. Named because of its passport-like dimensions. Well, there you go. Its new flagship handset earlier this year was something of a return to the BlackBerry of yesteryear, blah, blah, blah. Now, who's this guy? Chen.
Mr. Chen.
Chen who?
Oh, Mr. Chen.
You lost all your BlackBerrys. Chen, the part.
No, that's Mr. Wong.
Yeah. What happened to him? He died.
Wang the Wong number.
No, Mr. Yeah, Mr.
Wong,
Wong
from
Mr.
the
Wong.
American Express ads.
That's right. Then that guy come on and goes, don't leave home without them.
Carl Malden.
He's gone. Gone.
Gonski.
Now this guy, Chen, who apparently heads up BlackBerry, says the passport has proved a hit. And perhaps even bigger seller than the company anticipated.
We're only selling these that they're a hit in Nigeria.
We only expected to sell one. We sold three. It's a hit. We sold 300% of what we expected.
They sponsored the cricket in India, and they got hit all over
the
park.
There we go. I said Nigeria. I was close.
Is that what? True? Is that what?
No, I said, where are they selling? Where are they a hit in Nigeria?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you said India. So
I was fucking around. I'm happy for what's he say? I'm happy that the product is a successful product, but we did not make that many of them. So it is in limited supply almost everywhere. See, that's the supply and demand. BlackBerry announced an operating profit, Eric, from its handset business.
Five bucks is profit
for the first time in 5 quarters. We're managing We're managing the supply chain. We are managing inventories. We are managing cash. That's good that they're a business, so it's good to hear.
Yep.
And we have
No kudos for that, because that's what you're supposed to do.
And now we have expenses now at a number that is very manageable. Maybe they couldn't count above 10,000 or something. BlackBerry has survived. Now we have to start looking at growth. There you go.
Yeah, don't go looking for a factory in China. Apple's bought them all.
Yeah, so BlackBerry, you'd never buy a BlackBerry, I would imagine, Eric.
I've had a BlackBerry.
The I've older types, yeah.
Yeah, before the iPhone came out.
Yeah, well, they were.
I looked at the iPhone and said, what am I doing with this piece of crap?
And what do you think?
You looked at the iPhone and said it was a piece of crap, what?
Smart boy.
That was the iPhone 3. All right, Eric, what else have you got? Have you got anything there?
What do I have? Oh, let's have a look here. NBN, no NBN for you.
Oh.
Come back 1 year.
Come back 1 year. No NBN rollout plan for Parramatta sees internet users left with third world download speeds. Wow. I'm not going to say anything derogatory.
Like Milo.
About the people in Parramatta or their surrounds, but... Oh. That's it. There's no buts.
So what's happened?
Well, apparently it was announced sometime in recent maybe in the last 7 days, that they've cancelled the planned NBN rollout in Parramatta. Look, I don't know why. I don't understand why they would do that. Because my view, regardless of politics here, put politics aside, regardless of politics, the NBN should be rolled out where it's needed most. Right? And I don't care where that is. The problem with the last government is they rolled it out in suburbs of their constituents, even though other suburbs needed them, like the country, for example.
But they were, right? But they were, that the places they were rolling out were the, was the country and the smaller places.
Yeah, but the majority of the metropolitan areas were Labor seats, right?
Yes,
they didn't. That's just wrong. They played politics with this whole thing.
But no one cared.
Yeah, but remember we had a discussion about this 2 years ago. And we said, why are they putting it in Penrith when no one wants to pay $80 a month for NBN?
Mm.
If you put it in Wooronga or Pimble or Robina, it'd be snapped up tomorrow.
Where they can afford it.
Yeah. Where they can afford it.
They maybe, like, you know, they write everything else into law. They probably should have just wrote into law, yeah, we'll put it in the population areas first, but by law has to go into these other areas by a certain date.
They should be putting in, they should have done an assessment, where are the worst speeds in the country? We'll start there, regardless of where they are. But they didn't.
Yeah.
Yep. They did some in the country, but don't forget, the ones when they did do them in the country, they did it in seats where they got kickbacks with Rob Oakeshott and Tony Windsor did deals with the government.
Yep.
The independents are like, we'll vote for you if you put NBN. So that, so they started in those seats. So that's not objective.
No.
So I just hope that this cancellation in Parramatta isn't a payback.
Oh, I see where you're going.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm taking poll. I'm being objective here.
Mm.
If Parramatta needs it, and they're not Liberal voters, it doesn't matter. Give it to them.
Yeah. So, but hasn't it? It's been cancelled. Like, how far down the train the plan has it been cancelled? Like, because I think everywhere. Like, I was on the list for, you know, to begin starting June this year, I think it was, and now I'm just off the list.
Now you're not on the list.
I'm not even on a list. So I suppose, like, is that just the same as everywhere? Like, Parramatta, they wouldn't have...
Well, I don't know. They might have had a start date and now that's been cancelled, like Robina. Where I am, it was never on.
On.
There was never a date for a start.
Well, NBN has finally outlined which internet connection will be made available as well, in which areas, under its multi-technology mix national broadband network, revealing any new fibre-to-the-premise builds will be purely on a case-by-case basis. Now, fibre-to-the-node... Which is now the default way that you will access the internet for the majority of Australians, and the fibre to the premise would remain part of the network only in areas where it has already been deployed or is in advanced stages of rollout.
Yes,
and I think all the new areas and everything you'll get
new housing estates
will get it. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. They'll
but it's easy to put it in when they haven't filled in the ground yet, so that makes perfect sense.
I suppose, like, looking back in hindsight, or, you know, maybe if they had thought a bit better about it, maybe the fibre to the node would have been better, quicker to get it out to everyone, and then worry about, you know, and moving forward. But
moving forward.
Don't you like moving forward?
Good on you, Julia.
Yeah, your hair's not red.
Oh, yeah. According to the most recent weekly progress report... Oh, and there's a PDF in the show notes if you want to go and check that one out. NBN Co. has passed 431,000-odd brownfields premises, with fibre to the premises, 80,441 of which are unable to order a service. So I wouldn't know why. But, and with 160-odd thousand having taken up an active service, just under 136,500 new developments have been passed with fibre. So it's just slow. I don't know. This article just punches these stats out as if it's a good thing, but it's just too slow.
Yeah, there's much political and infighting and...
Well, there's not so much anymore because they've sacked all the Labor people that were ruining the place and just sitting up there collecting salaries, not doing much. So there's not a lot there. But don't forget, too, they inherited a mess. It's going to take a long time to clean up the mess they inherited before they can actually make progress. It's going to take longer than 12 months.
Well, I don't understand why it is so slow. Like, they got the
because it was done ineptly by people who had never, not one person that was running this was appointed. They're all appointed by the Labor government, and we all know what Labor is like. None of them have any experience in business, project management, business analysts, nothing.
Yeah. Right?
They're all union hacks who don't know how to do a day's work.
So, okay, so we're a year in to the Liberal.
Since your last election.
Yeah. So
it's going to take at least another 6 months.
So when do you hope that it's going to pass your house? When do you, have you got any? If you had to put a day, would you say okay, 2020? Would you
look? I think if it was done properly from the very beginning with experienced people who knew what they were doing, it'd be finished by now. Right across the whole country. When if they started in 2008 and it started with the right people behind the helm, with the proper supervision, it'd be finished now or close to finishing. Maybe it'll be some country areas, whatnot. Mm. But because they wasted 6 years, it's going to take another 6 years.
Mm. Well, as long as it's on the go,
yeah.
It won't happen overnight.
No, but it will happen. It will happen. Hopefully. All right. Now, what else have you got, Jase? You got anything else down there? How's Melbourne's weather for you? What's going on down there?
It's not too bad. It's a bit warm today, so I've got the fan on. But other than that, it's been still quite coolish. Haven't got any really hot days.
Have you had the four seasons in one day thing?
I haven't yet, but some of the time I've been asleep when it's day, so I don't know.
All right. What else is down here?
Oh, something good for me. Telstra customers will now know within seconds if they're about to burst their mobile data quota, with the company rolling out real-time alerts to help avoid bill shock. The service, which Telstra announced on Wednesday, will tell users when they've reached 50%, 85% and 100% of their included data within seconds. Presently, alert texts are delayed by up to 48 hours. The telco is the first in Australia to roll out real-time alerts. We hope the alerts will help consumers more easily track their usage, ACAN chief executive said. Consumers not realising there can be a two-day delay between the data usage notifications could easily use a gigabyte or two of data, which would set them back between $50 and $100. We'd like to see real-time alerts being offered by all of Australian telcos so all consumers can reap the benefits. An Optus spokeswoman said the telco aimed to notify customers in less than 24 hours, although the TCP code stipulates 48 hours. A Vodafone spokeswoman said heavy data users on the network received alerts within 12 hours for the most.
Why is there a delay anyway? Like, why can't this be almost instant anyway?
Well, I expect they just run the servers calculating everything overnight every 48 hours or so, rather than running servers constantly, which would be huge data usage, but maybe they invested in some new servers and scripting or something.
Yeah, yeah. Because I get those little messages. And, look, I don't know. I don't use much 4G or 3G when I'm out and about because I'm mostly within Wi-Fi range, which is good. So I'd be lucky, really, to use half a gig, of my plan. And I've only got a gig plan. So because I know, Jase, you'd probably be on your phone more than me, maybe, because you're out and about and doing stuff. What's your usage? Is that like
Well, I'm limited at the moment because I want to get off Telstra and I don't want to be spending too much money on my new job. So I've just cut it back to the basic Telstra plan, which I get 1 gig a month with, and I'm just rationing it out as much as possible. But it's not quite as bad as when I was in Sydney, where I had an hour trip to and from work every day. So it's 2 hours worth of travelling, and I just check Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of things. Now it's 20 minutes on the train each way, so I use up less data that way.
Well, the good thing
about most of the time I'm at home on Wi-Fi or I'm at work, I'm too busy.
Well, the good thing about using data on the train on the Gold Coast is you get up to pass Narang there, you lose service for half an hour. So it's all good. You don't have to worry. That's right. You don't have to worry about it. What's your usage like, Eric? Yeah, are you a big...
Look, it varies. Sometimes I'm pretty heavy. Look, for example, mine rolled over today and I'd used 15% of 2.5 gigs. So what's that? 500 megs.
Yeah, that's about my usage because you're probably in your office most of the day as well. And, you got your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, 375 megabytes.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's pretty good, isn't it? Rightio. Now, just as a quick one here. If you're in the country and you like to do a bit of home brew, apparently you can't buy a kit. Well, now you can. You can buy it online. Coopers is partnering with Adelaide-based Hostworks to support its online storefront. There you go. Slow news week, eh? Hostworks. Coopers Online, blah, blah, blah. Marketing manager for Coopers said DIYbeer.com. So DIYbeer.com will provide rural customers with Coopers DIY products. Yeah, yeah. You ever brewed, Jase?
No, one of my cousins did a while back, but I haven't done anything myself. But some of his stuff wasn't too bad. He even tried a alcoholic ginger beer, which was quite nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did a bourbon once, and yeah, I wouldn't do that again. It was awful.
Oh, God, that's moonshine, making that stuff at home.
No. This was like you actually brewed this. Like, it wasn't distilled. It wasn't, like, in the proper way or even close to it. This was, like, brewed. And
you have to leave it for 8 years?
you have to chew tobacco?
I permanently left it. It was disgusting. yeah, it was terrible. But, yeah, look, I've done it in the past. Used to, just sit down. And it's time-consuming, but I think each bottle used to come out, like, a big tallie, used to come out to about 30 cents, I think it was. So that was all right. That was good in the old days. Eric, you ever made it?
No, mate.
No? Oh, you don't really into beer, are you? More no.
I'll drink good beer, stuff. But I'm not making it. We'll let someone else do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is nicer, the commercial stuff. VB. All right. Did you have any more stories, Eric? Oh, I don't know. I have
just a quick Apple story. 12.9-inch iPad Pro production rumoured for quarter 2, 2015. Apple's 12.9-inch iPad is a picture there. iPad Pro, in inverted commas, may not enter mass production until the second quarter of 2015, according to new predictions from often reliable KGI Securities analyst Ming Ching Kuo.
Sounds very reliable. But look,
he believes that the iPad Pro will use an oxide panel to achieve high resolution, quick response, and high color saturation, and that the time needed for component yield and assembly to improve will push back production until the second quarter of 2015.
Now, I think this is where they're going, because, like, as you know, I've been looking for a little laptop that folds back over itself, you know. So
I reckon Apple will do this better if they decide to do it than anyone else.
Yeah,
they'll do a click onto a keyboard and it'll be a MacBook Air. Or you unplug it and it'll be an iPad Pro.
But see, I think at the end of the day, I think the folding mechanism is going to be the winner. Because
you might be right there.
Because, like I'm saying, like
a lot of moving parts, though, you know, it's got to have a double hinge.
Yeah,
because it's got to fold back on itself.
But then, if
that gets tricky.
But you think about it. So if you've bought this device for its specific purpose, which can be laptop or tablet, so then you're out somewhere. And if you've got a foldy thing, you just fold it back and it's a laptop, or you fold it back and it's a tablet. But if you've got to start clicking and everything, you go, oh, where's the keyboard?
Oh, no, I agree with you. I just think that they're going to have to make those hinges out of something pretty special, because they're going to get a lot of use.
True.
They're going to get a lot of use. I think that's how they should do it. They shouldn't do it any other way, because it's hideous. My nephew is staying with us for a week while his parents are away, two nephews, and he's got a Lenovo for school.
Oh, nice. Tell me more.
You know, it's not a bad tablet. It's about It's about iPad size tablet. iPad.
Yep.
You know, the standard iPad size, and it clicks onto a keyboard.
Yeah.
And they can start typing and whatnot. It's running full Windows on it, and then he just picks it up from the keyboard and he can start touching it.
What's the hard drive space on that? Do you know?
Not sure.
I think it'd be probably pretty small, 128.
Probably 128, I'd say.
Yeah. But
it is a bit of a pain, because sometimes it falls over and, you know, you just got to bump the table and it just falls over. So it's a little bit unstable. The hinge situation, like you described, is definitely much better. But I'm a bit worried that the first iteration of that sort of thing, I'd probably leave. I'd wait till they came out with the second version.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've been waiting. I just need something. I just want something.
Get a freaking MacBook Pro.
No.
MacBook Air.
No. Air. I don't like OS X.
Really, you're such a girl.
Put Windows on it. You can still put Windows on a MacBook.
And it runs and screams. You put a Windows on a MacBook Air with an SSD drive and spec it up, it screams.
Yeah, right. Well, I think this is, going back to the story there, I think this is the right move, like a bigger iPad sort of thing. And obviously you'd be able to click a keyboard.
It's going to have to be light, though. Otherwise it's going to be awkward. People are going to drop this thing like nobody's business. Because they are pretty slippery sort of devices.
But
if they're heavy, it's just going to fall out of your hand.
Yeah, but I don't know. So just with your nephew's Lenovo, so he's got the flip flip.
No, no, not back. The flip. It's just the, it clicks onto a stand.
Oh, because with the flip ones, because I thought, I sat down and thought, well, when you click it over, what, when you put it flat onto a desk, what's stopping all the keys from pushing, you know, and all this sort of stuff? But apparently good I look, point. Yeah, when I look further into it, the, as it gets to a certain degree of flippiness.
It disables the keys.
It disables the keyboards, but at the same time, pushes little rubber feet out.
Oh, okay.
So very
like
nice.
The Starship Enterprise.
Very nice.
He might even buy one before the end of next year.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah, I know. Then it'll sit on his bloody desk for 6 weeks.
Oh, no. This thing will be opened up straight away. Don't you...
Don't you worry about that, young fellow there. Don't you worry.
You're Roger Joe Bjorky.
Bye-bye, jingies.
Oh, what happened to good old Joe? Oh, wasn't
leading that, back. Wasn't that Newman's an idiot.
Yeah, but wasn't that sad about that other Wayne Goss? That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's
apparently he was a decent bloke for a Labour.
Yeah, I've had you know nothing, but yeah, it's just sad. Like I don't know if he was good or bad, but I remember him. I remember him up here, and yeah.
Well, I heard the other day. Did you know? I don't know if there's any interest. Sorry, viewers and listeners, but apparently that both his children, his son and a daughter, both won Rhodes scholarships 2 years apart.
Right.
So they're a very bright family, which is very good.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I got the shock of my life when I saw that, and I thought, geez, I didn't think he was that old. He's only 63. But that, yeah,
63 is not old, not these days.
Oh, hell no. That's not even pension age. Jeez.
No. God, I've missed out on that.
Not anymore.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, he missed pension age by a long time, didn't he? But anyway. Now, the Internet of Things. Now, we all know what Internet of Things, it's bringing the internet to things all around us. Now, the latest thing from Belkin, apparently $150. Now,
what is it?
It's a device allows you to switch the coffee maker onto a schedule, monitor your brew, and modify the strength of your coffee using the Wemo app for iOS and
Android.
Do we
need one of these devices per device we want to use? Like if I need one for the washing machine, the microwave, the oven, and the coffee machine, that means I need four of these at $150 each? Or is it one that controls everything?
Don't know. The device can also be triggered remotely, so you can have a fresh pot waiting when you walk through the door of an evening, or simply fire up the machine without getting out of bed, hide under your covers, and
make how fat are we going
to
be?
I want one set to the alarm. So if my alarm goes off at 7 o'clock in the morning, I want a nice coffee brewed by the time I get in the kitchen.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Or even start brewing 10 minutes before.
Now, here we go. Belkin has a range of Wemo devices geared towards home automation, including remote control light switches, plug sockets, and motion sensors. So I don't know, Eric.
I'm not into that.
What's that?
Just automating everything. I just think we're getting a bit lazy. Yeah. How hard is it to get off your ass and turn on the lights?
Yeah, it's a bit hard. Yeah. Oh, how good was that? Where was that I saw on some TV show? And this guy just went like that, and the glass to his office just frosted. Just like that. That was so – where was that? I think it was on the show Million Dollar Listing. That's right. Yeah.
I saw one recently where there good was show, a door, and when you put the key in and you lock the door, the screen goes opaque, and when you unlock it, it goes transparent.
Yeah, how does that work?
They've got a chemical in the glass that does it.
Yeah, right.
You can put that in,
and it's like charged
got,
when you.
They've got that in the shower. I saw this on another real estate show, Glenn. They've got this thing. Someone built a shower, and it's just glass, complete glass. And you step in there, and you can see outside, so everyone can see you, for example.
Yeah.
But the minute you turn the shower on, it's just opaque.
Yeah. Right. Well, what about the time you get undressed and you're in the shower?
There might be a switch in there. You press a switch and it goes opaque or something.
It's run by the FCC. It automatically detects nudity and senses you.
That's right. Yeah, so anyway, the Internet of Things and the coffee machine. Look, I like it. Yeah, bring it on. I don't think it probably does make yourself a bit lazy, but I mean, like light switches, you know, you could be driving up your driveway in your car and you push your phone, the lights come on, coffee machine comes on.
That happens anyway.
Or you could do it.
He's
from
got a family in there that hears him in the driveway and gets everything ready. Daddy's home, quick, get everything ready.
Or he's going to belt the shit out of me.
Odd. Eric could have slaves. Eric's got slaves at home. Haven't you, Eric? You got a couple of slaves? Make your coffee.
I'm in the South Wing.
He buys them a nice communion dress if they treat him right.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right. All right. Now, what else have I got here? Have I got another one? Let me have a look here. I've done that. I've done that one. I've done the good old BlackBerry. A solar-powered...
BlackBerry's done itself, I think.
A solar-powered glow-in-the-dark bike path by Studio Rosengard, inspired by Van Gogh. Now, this bike path is overseas, but look, I did pull some pictures out, but unfortunately I can't show them to you. And but if you go and have a look at it, it's pretty nice. Now, this bike path, it's swirling patterns, and it's a kilometre long, and it was all inspired by Vincent van Gogh, who lived in, where's that, Noonan, from 1883 to 1885, and it's lit at night by both special paint that changes in daylight and embedded LEDs that are powered by a nearby solar array. And you should have a look at it. Go and have a look at this path thing. It's bloody, it's great. It's nice. That looks really funky. So that's good. And what about the asteroid thing today, this week? That was all right.
The who?
The asteroid. We landed the...
Oh, yes, we landed. Took them 10 years, but it's all right.
Yeah. So that's good.
Did that happen? Switched screens, Eric? Sorry, what's that? Glenn. Have you switched screens, Glenn?
No, someone, Eric must have switched them.
What?
No,
what?
I'm sharing out a picture for you.
Oh, here we go.
Solar-powered footpath.
Try that one.
That's
the actual solar-powered footpath.
Yep.
Yeah, but this was like a... this one I was talking about. What is it? Because that's in the Netherlands as well. Hang on, let me have a look. Where's my little... show notes gone.
I'll bring it up.
Because I can't. Oh, look, someone's overtaken my screen. I don't know what's going on.
I haven't.
I don't know what's going on. Where are my show notes gone?
Hang on. What have you done?
I don't know. Someone's overtaken my screen.
How do you share a screen?
The plus button. Now, there's a solar-powered glow-in-the-dark bike path. So as opposed to a solar-powered footpath or a solar-panelled footpath, this is... Look, I'll put the link in the show notes if someone can bring it up. That's getting better. Whoever put that up? Eric?
No, what?
Me.
Jace, I'll put this in the show notes.
It's got a video on it explaining it's like solar-powered routes for dummies.
Who's got that up? Oh, that's me.
I'm not doing any of that. They've got people digging now. What's that?
I don't know what's going on.
That's where they're installing it. They're showing a guy there installing it.
Is that you, Warlock, doing that?
Yeah.
But this is the solar-powered path.
Yeah.
But you have a look at that little link in the Skype chat and pull that up. And this is the path. And it's at night time, so you can see it in all its glory. Because that's different. That path there looks like something out of Minecraft.
Yeah. Get rid of it.
That looks like a cartoon. And that... No. What is this?
It's a show, the video from YouTube showing solar-powered roads and how they work.
Right.
But we don't want to see that.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Now we're looking at a flight simulator.
It just said solar-powered roads that light up at night.
No,
what are you talking about?
No. There's a thingy in the Skype. A link in the Skype. If you can link on that, and then we can see it. Because I'm link retarded at the moment. What does that do? Don't send it to me. Oh, look, anyway, we can't do it. We might as well, we better
too
move.
Too high tech.
It's too high tech for us. We're going to have to
there
move
you
on.
Go. Done it.
Who's got
I'm
it?
Doing it now. Can you see it?
No. So, Jace, didn't you get that? Here we go. Here comes the screen. We're URL challenged here. here we go. Oh, nearly.
This is a special Van Gogh one.
Yes, but it's not supposed to be a solar powered, like to generate solar or electricity.
It just runs on solar.
It runs on solar.
That's what I said. The other one that I was showing you, it charges by the day and at night time it lights up.
But we don't care about that.
We care about this one, which is a Van Gogh specific one that is still solar powered glow in the dark.
Just listen.
All right. Is the one that Glenn sent me.
Hang on. It's coming.
So if it's not the one he meant to send me, then he sent the wrong one.
It's coming. I don't know where it is. But
just
anyway.
Click on the link, for God's sake.
Here we go. Why does it keep... Here we go.
This is Microsoft crap. Look at how long it takes. Bloody hell.
There we go. Look at that. Isn't that nice? And that's some dude standing on it close up. So it's all like sort of swirls and a sort of like a pattern and everything. It's all lit up. It's beautiful. And if you want to have a look at it yourself, go into the show notes. There's a link there. AussieTechHeads.com.
The show notes work.
Show notes work. They do work. And what else have I got to tell you about while we're looking at those? The Facebook, facebook.com/AussieTechHeads. And the radio, Aussie Tech Head, or what is it? AussieTechRadio.com. Go and belt that one out. That's becoming quite popular, the Aussie Tech Radio. It's 24/7 streaming tech shows. So they repeat, 24/7. There's probably about 10 or so shows there. So, you log in any time and you're probably going to get something different. And they reset or latest episodes every week, every Friday to be exact. And also the paper. Is aussietechheads.com.au/paper. Subscribe there. It's all about there's technology stories, there's business stories, there's sports stories, there's news stories, there's everything sort of stories and YouTubes and everything. So go and have a look at that. And also the aussiemaxzone.com.au and listen to them. That's also via iTunes. You can download the audio and the video sometimes through iTunes and YouTube. So, YouTube.com/AussieTech. We're everywhere. All right. Now, we're back. Okay. I think that's about it for me anyway. I think that is about it. What else have we got? Here we go. This will be my last story, I think. If you ever thought of smuggling meth into Australia in printer cartridges, don't. Because the authorities are awake to it.
Yeah, makes your printouts really crappy looking, but makes you very happy.
Yeah, you see them all go around licking all their paper, and a 27-year-old female has been charged with importing 7 kilograms of methamphetamine into Australia, hidden inside several boxes of printer cartridges. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Don't do it.
If they got the ink from HP or Canon, it's probably more expensive than the meth anyway.
Yeah, probably.
They should be smuggling in ink cartridges. They did a study not long ago and they found out that per milliliter, it was cheaper to buy Dom Perignon than it was to buy ink for your cartridges.
Oh, really? That's disgraceful, isn't it? Disgraceful?
Oh, ink's very expensive. It's a bloody rip-off.
Yeah. Well, the
That's
printers...
why the printers are pretty much free because they make all the money on ink.
But who? Right. Like, but what sort of... is it just mums and dads that buy the proper ink? Why not just buy the generic stuff? Like, there's a place just down the road here. I think it's wholesaletoners.com.au. They're just a Burley.
And depends if they've got the chips in them that won't let your printer work unless it's got the specific ink that they made. They're starting to do that with the Nespresso type pods now. They're going to put chips in them so that your Nespresso machine won't work with the cheap Aldi or Officeworks coffee pods. You have to buy the specific Nespresso ones.
Seriously?
Yep.
I bought some generic ink cartridges for the office because it's a laser printer and those colours and the drums can get pretty expensive.
Hmm.
And I ordered generic ones there because normally it costs something like $175 for black. The colour black.
Yeah.
And it was around $70, $80 for yellow, blue and pink or something.
Red.
So I thought, and if I had to replace them all in one hit, it's quite an expense.
Yeah.
So I found this website, put in my printer model and whatnot, laser printer. I got the whole pack, all four colours, for $150.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I had the same thing for my inkjet a few years ago that I got. It was like $65 for color and $45 for black. I went to eBay and I bought a pack of 10, which was 5 of each for $10.
Yeah, look, Google wholesale toners, and they're just down at Burley, up on the Gold Coast. But what they'll offer you, they give you free shipping, express
and a proud
post.
Sponsor of Aussie Tech
Heads. Express.
There you go.
Here's another free one, and a free shipping if you order more than $50. And it doesn't take much to order more than $50 worth of ink or toner. But you have it the next day if you order before 2 o'clock or something. And if you order before 10, you can even have it that day or something crazy. But, yeah, go and look at those. That's what I use. And they also give you a little present inside the box too.
It's a myth.
Little lollies.
Yeah, that's right. Lollies.
Yes, exactly. All right. What else are we going to talk about? That's about
well,
it.
Well, for the lucky people like me who've got one of these Nexus 7 tablets.
Well, they're tiny.
That's the 2012 version from Google. It's made by Asus. You can now go – Android police have found that you can go to the Google website where they've got the images and you can download the lollipop image and flash it onto your device. So you've got the latest Android 5.0 running on that device. All of the Nexuses are going to have it rolled out soon, but you can get this one early. They haven't announced it, but somebody's monitoring the site for images and they found that this had been released already. And my LG G3 should soon have it rolled out over the next few weeks as well.
What prevents – why do the phones and with Google have it rolled out progressively to the different devices? Like, why isn't it – say they?
Well, here's the thing. First, Google makes the operating system Android Lollipop.
Hmm.
Then they send it off to HTC, who has to write drivers to run their screens and whatever other chips and stuff they've got in there for audio, video, right, and all that stuff. Then it goes to Telstra, and then Telstra have to write all their crapware and make sure it's going to be compatible with that and do extra testing on their network so that it's certified and stuff. Then they wait a couple of months to piss you off, and then they roll it out.
Right. So
that's the problem with having – the Android phones, they're so disparate. They've got so many manufacturers. It's a major issue.
But yep. I don't see why like these guys are Android manufacturers or they're making the Android phones. So why not, like Google, just pop it up, you know, on the Android development side or something? They go, here's Lollipop, go your hardest.
And everyone, the carriers will block it.
Why is that? Because they don't want you to put it on because you missed out on
it. No, they want to make sure that they've got all their crapware and stuff on there as well. And it's been fully tested on their network and blah, blah, blah.
But then if you're smart enough, you can root your phone and put it on yourself.
Yep.
Yes. But then even still, what makes
it... They're hoping that not enough people are going to be as hardcore as to want to root their phone. So the majority of users are just going to wait until they get a notification on their device that says, hey, there's a new update, do you want it? And you go, yep. And then it goes, plug it in and we'll give it to you after an hour or so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I think my little Samsung, my first little baby smartphone, it's just died. It's in a...
Well, that's the other problem because there's so many devices out there. Some are got the enough grunt, some don't have enough grunt, and some of them they just don't want to support with newer versions of Android so that you go out and buy a new Nexus 6. Why would you keep your Nexus S3 or something like that when... You would never buy the newest one if Android 5 ran on it perfectly. So they're
planned
gonna make it.
Obsolescence.
Bingo.
And well, then and why then with like you get jump onto your Cyanogen mod site and there's different versions or different flavors of the Lollipop safe.
They'll spend weeks optimizing the heck out of it to jam it onto a device that it's not supposed to go on, and it'll mostly work for the most part if you can. If you want to risk trying it out, I mean, you can always flash it back to the original one, which you can download from, you know, any of the websites that support your device. But they're hoping.
Oh,
you know,
look, that's one reason I'm sticking with Apple.
Mm.
It just gets rolled out straight away. Everyone gets it at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, well,
they got planned obsolescence as well, but still.
Oh, they do, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah, but I think it's getting – well, look at my little iPhone. I've noticed it's starting to get a little – just get slower on a few bits and pieces now with 8. I forget what it started
on. Yeah, because they want you to buy a 6.
Yeah. Well, how's your 6 going, Eric?
It's all right, mate. Yeah. Still here.
You got the big one, haven't you? Yeah, no bendies?
No, mate.
It's all right. Yeah, good.
If you wobble it really fast in the middle like a pencil, it looks like it's bending.
Oh, look at that.
You did it.
That wall.
Take it back. You got to get it refurbished.
That's rubbish. That is rubbish. Well, there, that's pretty good, isn't it? You could buy 5 of them and put in that picture frame behind you.
Did you see that Chinese guy during the week?
What an idiot.
Bought 99 iPad 6s, made it, put it on the ground in the shape of a love heart, proposed to his girlfriend in the middle of it, and she said, no way.
Oh no! What was the, what was he playing on the iPads? They weren't just off.
No, no, they were still in the boxes. He had bought 99 iPhone 6s, left them in the boxes, and put them out in a arranged them in a pattern for a love heart, and got her to stand in the middle. And he goes, "Will you marry me?" And she goes, "No."
Oh, and this is on YouTube.
99. Think about that. 99 at an average price of $1,000. So he spent $100,000, right? She's probably said no because she thinks you're an idiot. You could have bought me a ring instead of 99 phones, you moron.
But the good thing is in China, he can up the price 1.5 to 2 times and people will buy it from him because it's so rare and difficult to get. Still. Yes.
Well, what a knob, right?
It won't be so much, but.
Well, what an idiot.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here before Eric swears again. So,
sorry.
You just want me to stay up till midnight.
You're an idiot.
All right. So, on those notes, he's an idiot. Is this on YouTube, Jace?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, you can see it probably on like Mashable and Gizmodo and stuff too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to have a look at that. So he's just left hanging. He just has a no and that was it.
Yeah.
See you later.
His iPhones
to pick up. Kung Fu chopped to the plums and off she went.
Yeah, so he just turns around and just starts picking up his iPhones.
I liked you when you had money, but you seem to have spent it all now by the looks of things.
On crap, stuff I don't want.
I'm going to go find...
I wanted an Android, you bastard.
Yeah. Where's my ring? What have you done for me lately?
I'm going to go find Tim Cook. He's got a lot of money. All right. Okay, so I think I've ran through everything that you could where you can catch us.
Wouldn't do her any good. Maybe him.
Yes. Wouldn't do him any good anyway. He's not of that persuasion. So that's about it for us this week. So you can catch us on the Facebook where we'll put up some free iOS and Android apps of the day. And there's been a few good little iOS ones this week. And you can find that facebook.com/AussieTechEds, youtube.com/AussieTechEds, and the webpage, aussietechheads.com.au/podcast. And go and check the show notes out. They're there every week, what we've been talking about, and all that sort of jazz. Don't forget the radio. It's been going off. Good stuff. Good work. All right. So until next week, see you, Jace. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
And we'll see you later, Eric. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir. See you later.
And we'll talk to you next week also. So until then, have a great week. And it's bye from us.
Aussie TechEd is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie TechEd or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.